Hey, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 12. We're going to talk a little bit about perception and reality. How we perceive things isn't necessarily reality. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Now here's a very vicious man, terrible ruler. And he kills James, John's brother. Now we're out in society, all of us. We want things to go well. And I'll tell you this much, we need this haven. We need the support of our brethren. We need each other. Don't ever look down upon, oh, you come to church. No, this is very important. You're out there. Things are going to happen. Some of them very serious matters instigated by the government. How to think, how to live, freedom, entitlement. Well, here's an evil king. And he kills a child of God, an influential man. But for some reason, he doesn't want to do anything else because of the Jewish holidays. Politician, governed by culture, things. So he wants to kill Peter as well. But he delays. He'll get to him, but he'll make sure he's in prison. No way of getting out. Now we live in neighborhoods. We have friends. Some of our neighbors don't like us. We know that. One of the reasons is because of our faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know if I told you the story about this dear brother in Montreal who worked for the post office. Very godly man. Soft-spoken. And one of his people in the office said, you know, I can't stand you. All this piousness, holiness, you make me sick. So the dear brother said to him, you'll never enjoy heaven. Thank you. We live in a society that looks at us, wants to get rid of us. Our society is opening to other ways of thinking, other ways of having sexual relationships. But if you're a God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian, you're the one that's the oddball. If you want to follow the rules of God in your life, you're the one that's going to be mocked. Now, I wonder about Peter. He must have known that James was killed by the sword. He must have known that things are out of hand. I can't control anything. But he's a man of God. And we don't understand, no one understands all the workings and how these things proceed in our life and with our friends. Putvin's had a serious illness, a disease, or cancer. But another young couple goes out to the field and they're as healthy as anything. There are mysteries that we don't grasp. And here's a mystery. James is killed. But Peter, because of the feasts of the Jews, is preserved. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now that's wonderful. The church are praying. I would gather they're praying for his release. Something to happen. We'll get to that in a minute. They perceive a kind of a hopelessness. When the Putvins were going through their distress, it seemed hopeless. Even in my own mind, my perception of the situation wasn't necessarily the reality. Now, the reality is, Peter's taken to prison, and he's put in chains, and he's got these guards. The church knows this, and they're praying for him. Now, Herod didn't forget that Peter's in prison. He's going to get him out and kill him. Our society is moving in all kinds of directions, mostly away from the things of God. Morality today has changed radically. I don't think we realize how strong hedonism is, the love of pleasure. If it's pleasurable, it's got to be good. Let's make it right, but it makes me feel good. So what do we do? When we see things happening around us, when we feel judged, we feel pushed out. What did Peter feel? Then God moves. Now, I don't know how you live your Christian life. We have a lot of wonderful truths in the Word of God. We've been saved by God's grace to live a life honoring to Him. We want to do that which pleases the Lord. A godly person is someone who wants to please the Lord. But things happen to us. And we get upset. And fear takes over. We don't want to be judged. We're fearful. We'll keep quiet. We won't reach out. Or a sickness comes into our life. And we're centered on the sickness. That's understandable. But we have a life to live. This life that we live is going to affect people around us. People who need the Lord Jesus. We've got to think of that need. We've got to think of ourselves, of course. But Peter's thrown in prison now. His effectiveness is limited. He's chained up. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. It would be nice if Peter would be sensible and say, God's doing something to me. Something's happening. This is fantastic. It's the Lord at work." Well, it's not how he perceives it. The reality is, yes, God is at work. God is going to do great things in our lives. But some of us are so deep into self-pity, or we don't believe because of something we're harboring in our lives, we're ineffective, or we feel ashamed, or we don't like the way we look. It's all nonsense. Satan's big job is to keep us on edge, to keep us away from trust, to keep us away from the Lord. I'm glad they're going to have a conference on the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit indwells each one of us. The Holy Spirit works alongside of our person, revealing to us the wonders of the Lord God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus has promised, he said, to send the Comforter. Take time alone with God. You have a family, you have a business, and just sit in thankfulness that the Holy Spirit is directing your thoughts. I was asked to come and speak today. Now, it is the privilege of those who minister to the Word to open up the Scriptures. But unless those Scriptures have meaning for the one who's delivering the message will be weak. So in my preparation, I realized that the Holy Spirit dwelt within me. So I said, and I'm open to any suggestions, Lord. Any suggestions you have, I would appreciate. I do my reading, I do my studying, but I want to have a message for this group. So I was sitting in my rocking chair. I like my rocking chair, meditating on this idea. Let the Holy Spirit refresh my mind and give me insight. Two words came to my mind: perception and reality. I found out that my dear wife had talked about that during the week. I just didn't realize it would stick in my brain. And I thought of this passage. My reaction was, I got kind of tearful. I said, "I asked you for direction and guidance and help, and you gave it to me in a wonderful way." I'm bringing this out because what we need to do as believers is to give more credit to the Lord, to have a real conversation with the God we love. Oh, we have a wonderful set of doctrines. We have the Word of God to rely on. But are you enjoying your life with the Lord? Now, Peter, you would think he made some wonderful confessions of faith. And he'd followed the Lord Jesus. I know he denied him 3 times, but he was brought back after the resurrection. Do you love me? Yes, I do. I do. I do. But he's in prison. And something's happening to him. Something wonderful is happening to him. Arise quickly. All of his chains fall off. Now maybe in our Christian lives we don't have things quite as dramatic as Peter's going through in this chapter. But maybe some of us do have interesting events that take place that we can explain. And the Lord God wants us to live a real, solid, discernible, reasonable, happy, wonderful life. Many of us are not taking advantage of all this wonderful power of God to do wonderful things in presenting the gospel and in living a life of good works for His glory. Now, when God is working in your life, He expects you to do things. Well, this angel's come and he's waking Peter out of his sleep. Peter's, all the chains fall off, so I haven't done anything yet. Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. Well, you did everything. Why don't you do that for me? I mean, you have things that you have to do. Little things, little details in our lives, corrections. Isn't that funny? My brother, who was an atheist, died. His wife is an atheist, and she'd go down and work for the needy. People who didn't have clothing or food. She felt it as a good deed. I said, how do you dress when you go down there? You take your jewelry off? You put your best clothing on? You're dealing with the poor. She said, I hate when you ask these questions. Because she was doing it and leaving it, and she didn't realize that she had to empathize and stay there. She's trying to do a good deed. How we talk to each other, little details. This is a tremendous thing is taking place here. He's going to be freed from prison. Well, put your shoes on. Put your clothes on. And follow me. Still kind of rubbing the sand out of his eyes, possibly. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. Can you believe it? Does he think he's in a trance? Does he think he's having a dream? This can't be happening. God's not going to do this. I'm just Peter. My chains are falling off and this angel is, this being is talking to me and I've got to... I guess I better do what I don't know what's going on. I can't quite accept the reality of all this wonderful goodness of the Lord. Some of us have faced adversity, sickness, disappointment, but there are times of happiness. Why don't we talk about those times of happiness? You've succeeded. You've done something honorable. You've helped some other person. You've found truth in Scripture. Let's bring happiness back to the Christian life. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And rejoice. But Bob, I'm in pain. I can understand that. But pain doesn't really... I know we all have degrees of pain. Be careful, Bob, because right at this time I don't have any pain in my body. But that's not true of all of you sitting here. But thought he was seeing a vision. That was his perception. This is, he's sitting in the terrible. The chains fell off. Was it all really happening? I had a vision. Now don't forget, Peter will have visions that in the 10th chapter. He had a vision that food to the animals. So maybe it's a vision. It's not true. It's not real. But when they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. I like that. We talk about the writers of the New Testament. These were intelligent men, brilliant. They expressed themselves, they expressed Luke's account of the historical beginnings of the early church. Beautifully written. I just like the way he puts this. Peter's walking, all of a sudden the gates open all by themselves. Which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. All right now, Peter, what are you going to do? Look around you. The gates just opened and closed. You were in prison. There are no chains. What is the reality? What is the reality for us as believers in the society that is going bad? All right, so that's what verse 11, that's what we need to do. How do we react to the gay community? What is your take on that? Freedom of sex, no commitment, not the gay community, any community. Everything is for everybody at any time, and you can leave whatever situation you're in at any time. No commitment, no marriage, nothing. Now, all we have to do is be careful that we are called of God to serve according to His Word. There are rules, there are regulations, there are things we should be doing and shouldn't be doing. At the breaking of bread this morning, the dear brother read Ephesians chapter 2, what we were like, the lusts of the flesh. We got to come to ourselves and say, that's what society, that's what the culture is becoming. That's not who we are. That's not who I am. When I was in the U.S. Army, I had to come to that very important decision to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of all of the hatred, the ridicule. For 2 years, living among men whose every other sentence was just filthy, except for "and" and "but." The language was horrible. But they were just living out their frustrations. They didn't want to be soldiers. And you're in that society. Now his eyes are opened. Now his perception is overtaken by reality. You might perceive yourself as being a certain type of individual that can do a certain type of job. So you go for an interview and you find out you're not qualified at all. Your perception isn't reality. We knew some wonderful bakers in Cleveland. And they had this wonderful, great bakery, the Huff Bakery. So I asked one of the men who was in the assembly there, "Do you have any ideas about hiring Christians in your business?" "Oh, yes, if they're qualified, but let me tell you a story." A young man walks into the office, my office, and says, "I'd like to get into your business here. Would you mind hiring me? I'm a believer. I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. What are your qualifications? Or what position are you looking for?" "Well, I want to be in management. I want to be a manager." "What qualifications do you have?" "I have none, but I'm a Christian." What? Perception and reality. "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." This is really happening. I didn't see a vision. The Lord's at work in my life. Let me get up and be with God's people and get things done. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now, that is wonderful. This is a funny passage. It's humorous. Here's the church praying for the release of Peter from prison. Now, we have prayer meetings. When we saw our daughter recently, she came up to pay a visit. She is about to be married for a second time. And he wanted to ask permission to marry our daughter. And we think that was wonderful. I don't know what his perception was of what we would be like. But the reality was we were loving, open, and agreeable. How strange. "And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. Oh, I was going to, what I wanted to tell you about. I said, we have one legacy we'd like to leave with you. And Karen, we'll call it the window of prayer. Would you please be specific? I don't want to say, I pray for the both of them, period. I said, I want you to be very specific in your prayers so we can really get involved in your lives. Well, they appreciated that. They call it the window of prayer. 2 days later, after we met them, we get this detailed prayer request from our daughter. 6 things definitely she wanted us to pray for. I like that. I like that. Pray specifically for that need. Mentioning a person's name in a prayer and not saying anything about the person doesn't make it real. So Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognizes Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. Now notice the contrast here. When Peter's in prison, the gates open themselves to get him out. Now he wants to get in with the people of God, and the gates are closed. I don't know what I did, but I guess I'm sorry. You! Well, good, at least. That was very good. It woke us all up. Wonderful. So the gate is closed. And Peter's pounding on the gate. But ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. Now notice the perception. The perception of a praying church. Can you believe this? Peter's at the gate, knocking. Rhoda's so excited that she comes in to where the people are praying. Rhoda, you're beside yourself. Relax. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, why did they say this? It's his angel. Well, it's good to have a belief in angels. The angel came and delivered Peter from prison. Let me pause here for a moment talking about angels. Have you ever had an experience in your Christian life that you can't quite explain? I know of people who have had these experiences. And sure enough, they were helped by angels. We won't go into all those details. But angels are real. And sometimes they protect us. And I remember one protection. Maybe I told you this story. When I was a young teenager, I worked for my dad. My dad wasn't a believer. We were in his van, and he was a house painter. And I was working with him on a paint job. And it was a highway. We were here. And there was a big sand truck coming, a huge sand truck coming on that side of the road. My dad was waiting. It was a small little truck. It could have gone immediately. Got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And just when it was on us, he turned into the lane. And I could see the truck driver, the cab of that truck was right there. And he was going like this. And he just turned and he veered off and went into the ditch. And I was breathless. And I looked into the ditch and he came stumbling out of the ditch. No one was killed. And I, to this day, I talk to my, what was my dad doing? I don't know. But I saw a protective hand of the Lord. We were dead. We would have been killed. Because my dad just turned right into it. I don't explain, there's all kinds of human explanations. God's at work. Peter continued knocking him when they opened, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Dear friends and those of you who love the Lord Jesus, when we're praying, is there expectancy? Now, think through this past month. We all believe in prayer. God answers prayer. But has, in your own personal life now, have you noticed a real answer to prayer? Something you specifically prayed about? Now, God's going to do wonderful things in our lives because there are people praying for us. We think of our ministry. People are praying for us in our ministry. We found this out. It's encouraging to us. They're astonished. But they've been praying. The church has been praying for Peter's release from prison. And here he's pounding at the door. And then they perceive it's Peter. And they're astonished. How could that be? What were you praying? You would think they would say, thanks be unto God. He answers prayer. Church had a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn. We all have a lot to learn about prayer. I know some of you may be cautious, and I understand that. If you were to share with someone in this meeting that you had an answer to prayer, wouldn't it sound like boasting? So some of you are very shy about that, and I appreciate that. But when God answers prayer, do you know how that encourages the people of God in your life? We don't have enough sharing in our assemblies. I mean, it would be nice to have just a Friday evening sometime sharing God's goodness to us. That's the fellowship. They continue together in fellowship. Motioned to them with his hand to keep silent. You know, it's sometimes you don't realize something's being said. There must have been a lot of clamor. When they saw him, they were astonished. But they must have been that's Peter. He said, "Wonderful." They're talking because he says he motioned to them with his hand to keep silent. Quiet down. Better be careful here. This whole thing's going to fall over. I'll try to keep my hands behind my back. Go and tell these things to James and to the brethren. Now that's another James. That's the Lord's brother. John's brother was killed in the beginning of the chapter. But there's another James that's very powerful. And he said, go and tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Peter was learning how to cope with a God who cares. I say cope with. Sometimes I don't think we realize how much the Lord God wants to be in our lives, how much he really cares about us, about what we do and what we say. We don't have to put up false fronts. We don't have to try to convince ourselves that everything is going all right. It's a time, I think, when we have to, all of us, think about what God is doing in our lives for his glory and how much he wants us to be involved and how much our prayers do have an effect on ourselves and the work of Christ and our neighborhoods. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. And he departed and went to another place. Now, it's one thing to have wonderful things happen to you as a believer, but you just don't sit on that blessing and say, well, that's it. You move on. You keep going. You have a life to live. You have a life to express. And let's all do what we do and say all for the glory of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for a Savior like yourself and your Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Help our perceptions to be reality. Help us to walk worthy. And help us to walk without being ashamed. Ashamed of our faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Apostle Paul said. And so help us not to be ashamed. Help us not to be undignified, vain, and foolish. But help us to walk in meekness and in love. As we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.